Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it here on KMOX. It is a Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Wanted to mention this because this is very, very cool. Maria Kina is hanging with us for just a few moments. The Missouri Sports Hall of Fame has announced their next Hall of Fame class, and there's two folks connected to very strongly connected to KMOX who are on the list.
Ooh.
Earl Austin Jr., the analyst for St. Louis Billikens basketball, I think also going in for his work as a sports writer. And then also Jim Jackson, St. Louis Cardinals longtime engineer, being inducted in the class of 2024 for the Missouri Sports Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Congratulations to both of them. So well deserved.
Yeah, it's a big class. Some of the other, I don't want to take anything away from anybody, but Anthony Bonner, former SLU player, played at Vashon. Taylor Twellman, St. Louis soccer legend, a bunch of different teams in there. So, yeah.
It's going to be a big class.
It's a really big class. So, this is really cool. But not to take anything away from anybody, just awesome to see KMOX once again so well represented.
Very
in this.
Much so. Yeah. Earl Austin, what a great guy.
Oh, he's so good.
My goodness.
He's the nicest guy in the world.
Is.
And he's so, his love for basketball, I mean, you listen to these games and you just hear it. We're going to have him on the show on Friday to preview the SLU season. We have him on a bunch. But gosh, we're so lucky with the broadcasters that we have in St. Louis. And that broadcast duo of Bob Ramsey and Earl Austin Jr. calling Billikens basketball doesn't get much better.
And his knowledge, it's like, how do you retain all that knowledge? And like it's nothing.
The institutional knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, when you think about baseball broadcasts, we never talk about the engineers on other sports, but we do in baseball because they're there every day. They're part of the 162 games. Jim Jackson is there every day. He doesn't miss a day.
Yeah.
He's there every single day. It is few and far between. I would guess that there are more years where he does all 162 than years where he gets a game off here or there. And it really makes me happy to know that. You know, while there's so much focus, and this is not anything against the actual broadcasters, but Jim Jackson is such a huge part of St. Louis Cardinals baseball on the radio, and for him to get honored in this way, it is really, really cool and well-deserved.
And that's so true, because, you know, if not for the technical people, there could be a lot of problems and things would not sound so good if not for those guys.
Yeah, and, you know, I watch Jim. He works so hard. I'll pull back the curtain a little bit on this one. So he is on the first bus to the ballpark every single day when the team's on the road. I don't know how old Jim is, but he's not young. He's not a young guy.
Yeah.
And man, he's got all this equipment and he is lugging it around ballparks, and it is a tough job what he does, and he gets stuff put together so quickly, and you know he has to deal with requests coming in at any given moment, and he takes care. I mean, there's a lot that goes on with that job. It's not like he's just carrying a pair of headphones and he plugs them in and he sits there and makes sure that they stay on the air. There's a lot that Jim does.
And think about it. Do you ever hear any problems on a Cardinals broadcast?
Very rarely.
Very rarely.
And I can tell you, if you do hear problems, it's not because of Jim Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
It is because of something probably on the road where they don't have a good internet connection or something like that.
Yeah.
So congratulations going out to both Earl Austin Jr. and Jim Jackson.
Very much so.
Well, well deserved. So,
yeah.
Maria, thanks for sticking around
a little bit
with us.
Okay.
That's Maria Keenan from the news department. So that's good news. That's really good news and so well deserved for those two individuals and everybody else that's part of the Missouri Sports Hall of Fame that's going to be going in there. Really a well-deserved thing. We are keeping an eye on what's going on in the World Series. They are underway. Top of the first inning, Kyle Sixton and I were just having the conversation on whether or not Freddie Freeman, A, would hit a home run, or B, hit a home run in the first inning, and if he does hit a home run in the first inning, whether or not it would be a two-run shot. What is it? It's six straight World Series games for him?
Yeah, going back to his time with the Braves, six straight World Series games with a homer.
I don't know if he hits one tonight. I don't think he hits one off Garrett Cole.
I think that's a safe assumption,
yeah.
But with the way he's playing, I mean, he just seems unstoppable at the moment.
Look, he's the reason, because you can go back, and I wasn't the only one saying this, but when this series got started and people like me picked the Yankees to win it, and I said it was like a 51-49 thing, when people like me picked the Yankees, I picked the Yankees largely because I thought the top three hitters for the Yankees in Judge, Soto, and Stanton, based off what Stanton had done in the postseason this year, that was better than the top three hitters for the Dodgers, which I identified as Ohtani, Betts, and then I put Hernandez in there. That was my third guy for the Dodgers because Freddie Freeman just hadn't done anything. He was playing on one ankle. But me and many other people, again, it wasn't an original thought by me, said, hey, if Freddie Freeman finds a way to be Freddie Freeman this series, that kind of shifts the which group of three, where at the very least it makes it look more even, and he was very much a key for this Dodgers team, and it's not a coincidence that the Dodgers are up 3-1, and Freddie Freeman has been absolutely spectacular so far here in the World Series, and it's been fun to watch what he can do. I am very much hoping that the Yankees do win this game tonight. Unfortunately for everybody in baseball, yesterday's game, and really the news coverage coming out of it, has very much been connected to the Yankees fans who interfered with Mookie Betts down the right field line. This has been a really weird thing. By the way, Freddie Freeman did not hit a home run in the first inning. This has been a really weird thing because in some ways there's been like this glorifying of a couple dudes. One guy has Mookie's glove, like holding onto it, trying to dig the ball out of it, and it's kind of twisting the wrist. I'm not trying to make it more nefarious than it actually was, and in slow motion it probably looks worse than in the moment, but the other guy is holding Betts' arm. Like, you can't do this. And there's been some news coverage out of it where those guys were interviewed. One of them was like a former roommate or something with Rob Gronkowski, and he was kind of lifting them up. Like, we should not go down a path where we are glorifying people who are like physically touching professional athletes in the field of play. Am I crazy for saying that, Kyle?
No, you're not at all. I totally agree. It's wild.
And so again, the stuff like this happens. It's been more the coverage coming out of it that's been weird. And these guys are kind of charismatic guys. Like, I get it. If you're ESPN, you want the clicks. Jesse Rogers wrote a story. I'm a huge Jesse Rogers fan. He's been on this show many times. I see he comes to St. Louis. He covers teams in the middle of the country mostly. He's based out of Chicago, so we see him in St. Louis. I would see him a lot when I was working in Milwaukee. We always see him at spring training. Like, this guy is somebody who I respect so much, and I really like his work. This is one where I disagree with where he went with it, just because I felt like in many ways it was glorifying it. And I think I saw this on social media. It's right. It's not an apples to apples comparison, because when the Bartman thing happened, that impacted the home team in a very negative way. But Bartman has his situation. He has to go into hiding. You can't even see it. And now these guys do this in New York, and they're being vaulted up as some sort of hero by some people in the New York media. And I don't like it.
Yeah, it's an odd situation, because when you're in the moment, I'm sure you're not even thinking about it. You're just going after the baseball. But in this situation, it's so much more than that. You know, he's reaching in the glove. He's touching Mookie Betts. It's more than just going for the baseball.
Right, yeah. I think the baseball was on the fan side of it. So if they would have got the baseball, cool. I got no problem with it. Baseball rules are very, very clear, and that's part of the home field advantage. Baseball rules are very clear. If the baseball is into the stands, yes, the player can go into the stands to try to reach for it, but they don't have a right to it over the fans. It's a 50-50 sort of situation. So if it's just a situation where those guys go for the ball and they catch it, or even if they deflect it away, like if they punch it out of the air where Betts can't make the catch, I have zero problem with that. It's the grabbing of the glove, digging into the glove, grabbing Betts' arm. Like, we just can't normalize doing that. It's different, and this is a stretch. I know this is a stretch. But you think about the palace at the palace, and when players went into the stand, like that, there's a separation between player and fan, and each side of it needs to be respectful. So players can't go into the stands and do something to fans. Fans can't do something to players physically, and that's what happened yesterday. Very unfortunate. Those two individuals were banned from attending tonight. The Yankees have not said if they're going to be banned moving forward. Major League Baseball hasn't said if they're going to be banned moving forward. They are season ticket holders for the Yankees. They are hopeful that it's just going to be a one-night sort of thing. Tonight's the final game that's going to be played in New York. The Players Association has said that they are keeping an eye on it. If these guys are not banned long-term from Yankee Stadium and the Players Association decides that they want to make a deal of it, they can make a deal of it. This can be something that really escalates very quickly. All right, we will take a break. And when we return, our good friend Scott Warman's going to join us from FanDuel Sports Network Midwest. Have to get used to saying that. Our buddy Scott Warman joins us in just a moment. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We're very happy to be a welcome on to the program. One of our favorite people to talk with. We'll talk some Cardinals, some Blues, some Missouri Valley basketball, a few other things as well. It's our good friend Scott Warman joining us. Scott, always appreciate the time. How are you?
I'm doing great, buddy. How are you?
I am good. I am better than the Blues are, because yesterday they lost 8-1 in Ottawa. Oof. They've allowed 13 goals in their last two games, and that was coming off a fantastic 5-1 win in Toronto. I know it's still really, really early, so it's hard to make any big statements, but what do you make of this Blues team so far this year?
Well, I think the one thing is obviously losing Robert Thomas is massive. I mean, he was your points leader last year. He's your number one center. He's your top facilitator. He was absolutely, you look at the numbers, Maddie, he's killing it at the faceoff. I mean, he's literally one of the top faceoff guys. So that means whether he's working PK or power play or 5-on-5, you're controlling the puck because he's winning so many faceoffs. So there's so many variables losing a guy like Robert Thomas. And that is a huge loss for this team, especially when you look at the middle of their lineup. When I mean the middle of their lineup, that's pertaining to the center position, probably isn't as deep as what we've seen from a hockey team before. You're trying to figure this thing out of Pavel Buchnevich is a long-term center right now. You got a guy like Dalibor Dvorsky, who's going to be with this team at some juncture. Too early right now. still getting his feet wet in pro hockey, you know, with Springfield on the minor league team. So with that truly is. And you even look, Matt, at the games, man games lost for this hockey team last year. It was minimal. They really did not get hit with the injury bug. And all of a sudden, the first month, and this team is getting hammered with the injury bug. But with all that being said, I know I mentioned this with Joey Vitale the other day on the broadcast on FanDuel Sports Network, was the fact that the Blues are putting themselves in an uncompromising situation, Matt, by falling behind too early in games, and you're constantly playing catch-up. They got away with it, and if you remember, in their first road trip to start the season, where they came back, had some big wins, winning in overtime, what have you, but you can't consistently play like that. And that's what happened in Montreal. We talked about it after the game against the Canadiens on Saturday. All of a sudden, you fall behind 2-0 early in the game. The second goal by the Canadiens, actually, it's right after you had a power play. They get a goal, but then 21 seconds later, boom, the Blues score. And pretty much, if you look at the ice, it was really tilted towards the Blues' way from that point moving forward for the rest of the game. Unfortunately, they only scored a pair, and they wind up losing 5-2. Last night, well, that was just a stinker. But again, it's one of those things where you fall, what was it, 3-0 after 20 minutes of play. And it was really mistakes. The Blues were coughing up the puck. And, you know, there was a lot of odd man rushes in that, just in that first period alone by Ottawa. But that, I think that's, if I'm Drew Bannister and I'm Doug Armstrong and company, one of the biggest concerns for me right now is this team not coming out of the gate quick enough, which is crazy because, as you alluded to, you're taking on one of the best teams in the National Hockey League and the Toronto Maple Leafs in Toronto, and you play by far your best game. You're like, whoa, what a response with the loss of Robert Thomas. And you even played really well that night before, or two nights before that, when you wrapped up your homestand against one of the best teams right now in the NHL and the Winnipeg Jets. You only lose by a goal, and then all of a sudden, things turn on it. So I hate to say must win. We're the first month of the season, but, you know, you got to play a lot better against a lowly Philadelphia Flyers team. I know they beat Boston, but the Flyers have really struggled out of the gate, and you'd really like to see the Blues pick up a couple of points tomorrow night against the Flyers.
Look, I realize this is not the same team as it was last year. There's guys who are here now that weren't here and guys who are here that are not here anymore, but there are a kind of a core group of players that were part of a group that resulted in a head coach being fired, and there were certainly character concerns that were raised by folks about last year's team, again, really, really early. But I'm starting to hear those kind of conversations again. Do you think that's valid or not?
I don't, because A, like you just mentioned, it's early. And the people I know that are with the team and travel with the team tell me that this is probably as close-knit of a group that we've had in a couple, 2-3 years. And so I don't know if there is validity to that, to be quite honest from you. And that's again, people that I talk to are with this team on an everyday basis. I think what you're running into is, again, you're running into injuries, and you're going to have to get over that. The other part of it is the fact that I honestly believe, and I said this before the season, I thought this team was deeper than we've had in years past. When you look at your regular starting 12, when your four lines, that meaning the starting 12, you probably have, and that was the additions that Doug Armstrong made in the offseason, was the fact that you had guys like a Holloway that you brought in, a Texier, guys that brought you a little bit more size and a little bit more speed, even a Foxa who's, you know, a little bit longer in the tooth but brought size. These are the type of guys that I think that you didn't have that depth last year. But again, you can't afford to lose a guy like Robert Thomas, because guys that are normally on your third line now, Maddie, are now being bumped up to your second and first line. So that's where you're kind of razor thin right now. I will say this, and I know I'm speaking because anybody even that's even a casual hockey fan can see it. Philip Broberg is just amazing. And like Joey and I pointed out on our show, on the pregame show on Saturday, the guy plays all ends of the ice. He's not only doing it from an offensive standpoint, but he's also very steady. He's not going to be a guy that's going to drill, you know, somebody through the boards, but he is going to play very smart, cerebral hockey, and it would not surprise me to see Philip Broberg eventually maybe get up to the top pairing with Colton Parayko sooner rather than later, because this guy has really elevated his game. He truly has been, Matty, a great addition to his hockey team, and I think Blues fans have a lot to look forward to with this guy steadying out the blue line.
Yeah, I mean, those moves that were made with Holloway and Broberg, small sample size, but my goodness, are they paying off. And Broberg, like you said, he looks like one of the top defensive players, not the top defenseman on the roster at this point. And even how they shuffled the lines at practice today, like you would expect them to do after a game like yesterday. But Holloway was up to that second line center today.
Yep, absolutely. And that's what you're going to see, you know, with Robert Thomas. You're going to see a lot of juggling, I think, by Drew Bannister until you feel like you're comfortable and you got something going from a rhythm standpoint with this team. With all that being said, it's going to take a little bit of time. You just don't replace a guy like Robert Thomas. But yes, there is no question that Holloway and Broberg have already, you know, have paid dividends for this team. And as you know, it's like baseball. I always say hockey and baseball, there are some equals there. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. So you're going to have those times where you're going to hit a lull. But I really like what I see out of those two guys. And I know some of the guys that, you know, have been with this team from day one in training camp have told me that they really are high on Texier and give him some time. And they think he can be another great addition to this hockey team.
Let's jump over to the Cardinals for a moment. When the season came to an end and then when we got to the first press conference, the talk about payroll going down was mentioned. And then we had another media availability and there's been a few more things said by Mo. They haven't explicitly stated yet how much payroll is going to drop, but it certainly is starting to feel like it might be somewhat extreme, where two or three of those big contracts might get moved this offseason as they really start to refocus on player development and try to produce more high-end players to the Major League roster. What are your expectations about this offseason and what it's going to look like when all is said and done?
To me, I'm actually kind of excited about this offseason. And I think, and I've had this conversation amongst people that you and I are contemporaries, but also with, you know, some Cardinal fans out there, that I think because of the frustration of what transpired the last 2 years, given some of these young guys that have come through the ranks, giving them looks, I think is something that I think Cardinals fans will be intrigued. Granted, the ultimatum is to win baseball games, but you know, you have to learn. It's kind of a learning process. And as I've always said for years, we're so spoiled around here, you know, this Matt, that, you know, we've seen winning baseball, or at least competitive baseball, for 20 plus years. So this is, you know, really uncharted territory for Cardinal fan. So to say, oh, we're going to watch the young kids play. Well, we haven't said that in a long, long time. But with all that being said, I think to me what I am most intrigued about with this is to see what deals are made. But the important part is what you get in return. Because if you are going to deal guys that have value and have contract that you're getting rid of, you know, if you can get some player or players that you can get in return that are ready, young, and are ready or near ready, that are considered top prospects within other organizations, I think you can turn this thing around. Like Mo said in that first press conference that you were alluding to, Matty, is a retool. I mean, I've mentioned this before, is the fact that the retool that I think Mo has mentioned is kind of similar to what Doug Armstrong has been trying to mention. Like, look, you know, we won the Stanley Cup 5 years ago, guys age, things aren't going right. So we're trying to make what he would call a quick rebuild. And that's what he's trying to stay in the playoff hunt all while, you know, still trying to build up your prospect pool. And I think I kind of gather that's kind of what the Cardinals want to do too, is, hey, we're going to retool here, but the hope is that we're not going to be out of this playoff hunt for very long. And with some of the guys that we still have high expectations that are within our organization, bringing in more via the draft, but also acquire in deals, that maybe we can turn this thing around. So I think, to me, I don't know if you're heading down to Dallas for Claves or not, but if you are, I would be really excited if I was you guys to go down there, because I think this could be a really exciting time to see what the future holds for this ball club and what the Cardinals are going to receive in some of these deals that we believe they're going to wind up making and trimming some of this payroll.
Yeah, and I will be at the winter meetings. And I think, look, I don't think you have to squint that hard to say, from a rotation standpoint, if you remove a Lance Lynn and a Kyle Gibson, but you add Eric Fetty and then you have Andre Pallante for a full year, and maybe you get something out of McGreevy or Graceffa or Matthews. Like, you compare that to a group last year that had Michaelis in there. We'll see if he's back, but Matt's in there. Like, I think that rotation I mentioned can be just as productive. If you don't have Goldschmidt and Arenado, if you move on from Arenado and you look at first, second, and third, and you've got some combination of Burleson, Donovan, Sajacy, Gorman, I feel like with the lack of production that you got out of Goldschmidt and Arenado last year, you can definitely see a scenario where you're at least matching that. And if you kind of match this past season in a year that's supposed to be a retool, I think that's a step forward.
Right. I agree. I think getting Burleson in there basically on an everyday basis, whether it's first base, outfield, or DH, or a combination of the three, is very important. I mean, that guy, I mean, even me, I can tell he's just a pure hitter. I think giving Jordan Walker an opportunity, maybe find himself, maybe work with somebody else, maybe finding him, because we know he has the tools. And I think the same can be said for Nolan Gorman. Remember, again, we always put ifs, big ifs here. If Arenado is dealt, remember, Gorman came up as a third baseman. So is that one of those situations where you put Nolan back in his original position? And maybe, again, I'm using a hypothesis here, is maybe he a little bit more comfortable over at the hot corner than, you know, learning second base? That might be something that could work to his advantage. Again, ifs, but I'm just throwing out different scenarios there. As far as the pitching is concerned, that's where I think the Cardinals probably are going to look at more likely than anything else when they do, or we assume they're going to make some of these deals, is try to replenish some of the pitching, whether it's starting rotation or even the bullpen. I think the X factor in this whole thing, to be quite honest with you, is Ryan Helsley. I mean, Helsley's coming off an incredible year. We always knew that he had the ability to be a shutdown closer. He's going to arbitration, Matt, this offseason. After that, you know, he's going to be a free agent. So I'm sure Heim, along with Mo and everybody else, are sitting back, go, look, are we going to be able to afford him after next year if he continues to do, and hopefully he does continue to do what he's doing? Or would it be more advantageous for us while he's at his peak to maybe see what we can get for a guy like Ryan Helsley? I think that could be a really interesting trade chip if you want to go that route, or if you're comfortable, because I know this, and I've repeated myself several times, but I think it's because we have the utmost respect for Tony La Russa. But Tony always told all of us, you know, just sitting there having a baseball conversation, if he started a baseball team, a closer would be the first player he would get, because he always said that was the most important piece to have a championship team. So just going by what TLR says, it tells me that, you know, there is so much value in either having a closer or trading a closer, if that's the thought process by a lot of these other GMs and president of baseball operations out there, where maybe you can get something, a large return, if you will, for a guy like Ryan Helsley. I'm just really intrigued by what's going to transpire in this offseason. I think it's going to be very, very interesting to see what this Cardinal organization does.
Last thing for you, just real quickly, you are one of the many things that you do is one of the broadcasters for the Missouri Valley Conference. College basketball season begins on Monday. A lot of excitement locally, but what is your excitement level for what you're going to see coming out of the Valley this year?
Pretty excited. I think we've got several teams that are going to be really good. I think Murray State, who's going to be in their third year in the Valley, really has an opportunity to make some noise this year. Bradley's going to be good again with Brian Wardle. Expectations are that Ben Jacobson, who's been a little bit quiet with his group over the last few years, Northern Iowa, always normally in the middle of the thick of a race. They're going to be there. I talking to some of my other analysts that I work with in the Valley, a couple of them work up in the Iowa area. Ben McCollum, who used to be at Northwest Missouri State and had a lot of success up there, took over for Darren DeVries at Drake, and they tell me he brought in some elite athletes up in Des Moines for Drake. So I'm going to be really intrigued to see that. We're seeing a lot of coaching changes, new coach down in SIU Carbondale, Indiana State, obviously, with Josh going to SLU. And then, of course, Missouri State brings back Konza Martin. So I know there's a lot of excitement, as you know, Maddie, down at Missouri State with Zoe coming back, because Zoe had so much success with that program at Missouri State before he went to Tennessee.
He is Scott Warren. Have you gotten used to saying FanDuel Sports Network yet?
Yes, I've been practicing at home a lot.
All right.
Well, here's a real quick one. So when we changed from Fox Sports Midwest to Bally Sports, you look at the desk, if you watch it all, and I just have my papers, my script or whatever. But when we made that change, I brought my iPad out. When I did, Maddie, with the iPad, I really didn't have anything on the iPad. I just had written on their Bally's as a reminder that I had to do Bally's instead of Fox Sports Midwest. Now, Saturday was my first time doing the FanDuel thing, and we had some issues going on behind the scenes with the truck and everything. So there was a lot of moving parts. So I didn't get my iPad, didn't bring it with me. I forgot it, but I didn't mess up. Okay. I mentioned FanDuel Sports Network every time. So I didn't get that email from the bosses in LA that I had screwed up. So knock on wood, so far, so good.
Perfect. It's Scott Warman from FanDuel Sports Network Midwest. Scott, always appreciate the time. We'll talk again real soon.
Sounds good, Maddie. Thank you, buddy.
Scott Warman joining us. That would be tough for, I remember, I can't tell you how locked in I was. Because if you remember when I got to St. Louis, I had been doing Brewers postgame. I can't tell you how locked in I was on every Cardinals postgame show that I did not accidentally say Brewers and that I did not accidentally say the name of the station that I had previously worked for, not KMOX. There were a couple times where it almost came out, and you kind of hear yourself before you say something, if that makes any sense. And I caught it. But yeah, that's you call it Bally Sports Midwest for a while, and all of a sudden you got to call it FanDuel Sports Network Midwest, and it's just a little bit different. All right, we'll take a break. We got a lot more coming up. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. You know, Creed is getting a lot of love. I was listening to Dave Simons, Kyle, when I was driving home last night, and he started rocking a little Creed in the middle of his first segment as I was driving home.
He was rocking last night.
Yeah. I don't hate Creed. I don't. I owned a couple of their albums back in the day. Probably like I graduated high school in 2001. I feel like they were like a high school band for me.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but a lot of Creed and a lot of Evanescence. We yeah. With the FanDuel yeah. Sports Network story from yesterday, I was talking about that with Chris and Amy earlier today, and Matt Pajeski, their producer, former producer of this show, started rocking the Evanescence song right in the middle of my hit with Chris and Amy. So that was fun. What's not fun is being Jack Flaherty, because his final start of the season did not go well. Yankees and Dodgers are playing World Series game number 5 right now. Flaherty, the former Cardinal, gives up 3 runs in the first inning, courtesy of an Aaron Judge 2-run home run and a Jazz Chisholm Jr. solo shot. He comes back out for the second inning, gives up another run, and his day is over. It is 4-0 Yankees, bottom of the second inning, and the Dodgers have already gone to their bullpen as Anthony Bonda is in to pitch right now as the Dodgers try to maybe put somebody in to stem the tide a bit and give them an opportunity to come back. I don't know how it's all going to play out. All I'll say is this. When the Dodgers were down yesterday late in the game, they made the decision to go with their B bullpen, which is fine. Those guys have to, they're on the roster. They've got to pitch at some point. But they let some guys just get in, stay in there and get shelled. And they punted on yesterday's game late in the game. It went to a point where they were clearly not trying to win anymore and they were just trying to get the game over with and getting to tonight. I understand resource allocation and who you don't want to use yesterday because that might make them unavailable today. But depending on how things go, and I still think the Dodgers win this series, the Yankees winning 4 in a row seems incredibly unlikely. But if that happens, I think you go back to yesterday's game and that decision, and a Yankees offense that has been awesome, but then had not been awesome in the World Series, you let them unlock a little bit yesterday, you got them feeling good, and then what happens? They walk into the ballpark today, and Aaron Judge and Jazz Chisholm Jr. each hit home runs in the first inning, and the Yankees have four runs over the first two innings. I'm just saying that might be a decision that could potentially backfire a bit on the Dodgers. I understand why they did it. I'm not even saying it was the wrong move, but it was a move that might have negative consequences. Brad Young's going to join us in just a few minutes to preview At Your Service. He's in tonight from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. He'll join me next. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Just a few minutes left in the program, but you will not want to go anywhere once we are done. At Your Service tonight, 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Our guy, Brad Young, is going to be hosting this evening, and he joins us right now in front of his program. Hey, Brad.
Mr. Pauly, good to see you, sir.
Good to see you as well. And final show for you before the election.
Before the election. We are going to talk about some election stuff tonight. I'm going to go through some polling data, talk about some of the election lawsuits that we're already seeing, and trying to prognosticate, not necessarily the outcome of the election, but how will the legal field respond to the what appears now to be a very, very, very tight race.
You're a smart guy. Smarter than me.
Oh, please.
You are. And I have a hard, because I'm not a big political guy, but around this time of the year, it's hard to not pay attention. And especially on social media, I'll see all the polls. And I can go find a poll that tells you that Donald Trump's leading by 4 in Wisconsin, or I can find you a poll that says Kamala Harris is leading by 4 in Wisconsin or in Pennsylvania or any of these swing states. You know, there's not a lot of consistency in the polling data as dumb guy Matt sees.
Very easy solution to that.
So how do you discern what's right?
Very easy.
Okay.
A company called 538, which was devised by a guy named Nate Silver.
Yeah, old ESPN guy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He devised what's the perfect plan, and now it's being replicated by other companies. And that's what this is what he does. He takes and he divides polls as class A, B, C, or D in terms of their past predictability and accuracy after the election. So then he takes all the polls that fall into class A, being the most reliable, and he does a poll of polls. And so you take the most accurate polls, and then you get basically an average, a statistical average of the polls. And that, at least in theory, is the most accurate way to weed out the bias one way or the other.
Is it? Do you find it to be accurate?
I do.
Okay.
I do. But now that doesn't account for human nature. I mean, those polls are just based on what people tell the pollsters. Is everyone being polled? No. Does that mean if it rains in Pennsylvania, there's going to be less of a turnout of one group or another? That could impact it. But at least in terms of predictability, that method is the best.
Okay. Interesting. I know we got about a minute. I know you wanted to mention the Yankees fan situation.
Well, I was watching that Mookie Betts play where he's up there and the video is crystal clear. And those Yankee fans are trying to extract the ball from Mookie Betts' glove. And one thing that nobody's talked about is, number one, the fans were actually committing assault and battery on Mookie Betts.
Mm-hmm.
They could have been arrested. I don't know if they were. I think they were thrown out of the game.
Yeah, and they were banned for tonight. They were told if they showed up tonight, they would be arrested.
Right. But also, how about attempted robbery? You know, I mean, attempted theft. It was in his possession, and they were stealing the ball. Those guys needed to be arrested.
Well, the out did get recorded. The umpires did call for fan interference. So from that standpoint, it was. Yeah, but that can't happen.
It's terrible.
That just cannot happen.
No.
20 seconds. Anything else on the show tonight that you want to mention?
Well, phone lines are going to be open. I canceled interviews for tonight because I wanted to leave the whole night open for phone calls. And so stick around to hear from the audience tonight.
Brad Young is on the way next. It's At Your Service here on KMOX.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.